Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Survivor Stock Watch podcast for Rob is a Podcast. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and with me this week is the great Peridium. How are you doing, Peridium?
Taryn, can I tell you a secret?
Sure.
The last act of any season is going to make the season. Okay, if you wow them in the end and you got a hit, you can have flaws, you can have problems along the way. We've just had bumpy bumps here and there. But if you wow them in the end, you got a hit. You can find an ending, but don't cheat. Okay? Don't cheat and don't you dare bring in a deus ex machina. The change has to come from within. And I think we're getting that. And we get to talk about it in this episode. That was a quote from one of my favorite movies, Adaptation. And I just thought it was very applicable. So I wanted to start off the podcast today talking about this. I'm very excited.
Yes.
That's how I'm doing.
And that's how it feels. You know, I think that for myself, at least, like I've been waiting for the moment where, you know, in particular, obviously we're here talking about who knows what number episode. I never know the number of it's like what episode 12?
I think it's 11. Right? I don't know. It's whatever.
One of those of Survivor 42. The penultimate.
It was 12. It says 12.
There you go. The penultimate episode of Survivor 42. Only one left. Only the finale remains. This feels like the conclusion to Omer's story that I have been waiting for since the merge when he was like, look at me. I'm in a great spot and I'm doing well. I'm like, okay. When is this going to come crumbling down? Finally did today, here as we talk about the episode and, as one falls, another rises, and that's where we are.
Yeah, this was one of my favorite episodes of the season. I'm glad I got to come on for this one. Hopefully my voice holds up. I will say I had a bit of a cough coming into this, so I apologize if I start coughing. but we'll keep my throat clear, and I'm excited to break it down, rate the players, talk about some of the moves, hypotheticals. There was a lot of, like, we had so many different plans that came together to form what ultimately was like a fantastic 3-2-2 vote. And I'm happy to be here.
Yes. You might say that, hey, we are here to talk about episode 11 of Survivor 42. No, that's a lie. It's episode 12. as Marianne might say.
We have 6 votes.
Yes.
That's a lie. We have 7. I have a triple.
That's a great setup too. Like, props to like that. Like, that's a great, like, blindside, like in the middle of the conversation. Here's the setup, and then pulls the rug out from underneath you. Just kidding. Let me bedazzle you. It's, yeah, love it.
I like getting somebody to agree. Like, we both can agree, right? That we are talking about 6 votes. There's 6 votes, right? Yes. Wrong. Ha! There's 7.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Finally, the extra vote is offensively used. It took 12 seasons. It's usually defensively used, but Marianne took advantage of it, and it was really all her own. Usually it's like in collaboration, or like it's like, oh, right, there's an extra vote. Okay, pad the numbers. Marianne's like, nope. Like, I'm rewriting history. We're changing it up. It's not Survivor 2.0. It's Survivor 18.0. And yeah.
Yeah. So the big story from the episode here seems to be that, you know, Omer has been making moves behind the scenes since the merge, and really even, I imagine, prior to the merge. But he's been kind of running the show and hiding the fact that he's been running the show. Nobody has been able to see it. However, when Drea, on her way out, says, by the way, Omer's the only person that knew. It seems like that was she rang the bell, and it couldn't be unrung. Everybody had that like aha moment of, whoa, hold on. Even though we haven't been suspecting Omer to this point, we just realized Omer is the biggest threat in the game. And the new meta of Survivor at the moment is a lot less about alliances and a lot more about who appears to be the biggest threat, right? We've seen this in a lot of recent modern seasons. It's like, you know, who just made the biggest and most interesting move? They've got to go next. They're the biggest threat. Who just took them out? That person now needs to go. And Omer had done a really good job of hiding his threat level, but it seems like it's the Drea comment that really is the thing that puts the nail in the coffin. Of course, can't know that for sure given how little we see, but it seems like that's going to be it here for Omer.
Yeah, I was thinking about this. I think it's interesting because Winners at War is one of the end games of later recent seasons where it was more alliance based at the end, and it didn't really shift even after somebody like Natalie comes in and it's like, you got to get Tony out. And that didn't really happen. But we saw it in 38, 39, 37 with the whole chaos of the ending of David Goliath, Edge of Extinction for sure. When Chris comes back and it just is like, you got to pick off the big threats between Victoria and Devins. And then it ends up with last season too. And you sort of like Survivor's meta has shifted to, I don't know if this is like similar to old school Big Brother, but it's like you got to stay low to the ground for most of it and then show up at the very end with that clincher, pick off the biggest threat at the last second or the last few days. I was looking at the history of Final Six votes. This is probably one of the most interesting and exciting and easy to talk about Final Six votes where, like the whole meta, like the whole end game is shifted. Really, a lot of the things that happened up to this point are kind of just gone with Omer, and Drea and Hyal leaving back to back. And now we're left with like, what is the last final five and in the final six going to really determine who the winner is? You would think up to this point, it's been like Mike and obviously we had Omer, he's gone. Maybe Lindsay. This episode really could change the whole trajectory for the final five, final four, final three. And that's crazy. I don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, this is not to say that relationships and alliances have no bearing in the modern game.
They have a lot of bearing.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I think they tend to determine who becomes the biggest threat a lot of the time. But it does seem like this is especially from like the, you know, 9 to 6 or 5, even heading into 4 range. It tends to be like, who's the person who's sticking their head up the highest, lop it off. And that's it. I think that's very interesting. I think I personally find it more interesting to watch than just sort of like an alliance stomping down. Because it adds these other interesting dynamics of how low can you fly while still making sure that you're safe, and making sure that the structure is, set up in a way that benefits you. And I think that different players can succeed to varying degrees of either hiding their threat level to the point where they're able to control without being a target, or just kind of like laying back and hoping that things work out while still being likable and respectable enough to win in the end, or just like being that threat and being unvote outable, essentially, right? Like those are kind of the three paths right now.
Yep. And we've seen a couple of those, Pat, we've seen all of them play out in the last two seasons. I would agree. I think the Hollis nail gets the hammer or something is kind of currently where we're at. And it's interesting because it does factor in your gameplay up to this point. You got to be stealth, but not too stealth that you don't get the credit, but not too much that you get the hammer. And you got to find that sweet spot. And we've seen players win and lose by that. It's looking like, you know, this was a little bit of Omer popping up too high at the final seven. And he admitted, like, you saw his exit interviews by any chance? Have you seen
that? I haven't seen too many. I know that he revealed that he had an idle nullifier, which we never saw.
What?
Which, by the way, last week I was like, Drea should have just said she had an idle nullifier. But Omer probably would have immediately clocked that as a lie, right?
Yeah, right. It blows my mind. I'm trying to think of instances where they've just straight up hidden advantages that have turned into kind of that got the ball rolling for now Omer's demise. It really starts with, like, that's not the main reason he goes, and he'll admit it himself. And I do trust, I'm curious. I really want to hear from Lindsay, from Jonathan, from Mike postseason, like where they were at that one vote, because it really feels like it was that vote last week with Drea going that shifted to where we are with this episode. And I think where we're going to go create a domino effect of consequences for Omer, probably for Lindsay. Lindsay's in a lot of trouble now. But it sounds like that idol nullifier helped decide that Drea would be going from Omar's perspective. He's the guy calling that shot alongside Lindsay. And it turns out Jonathan knew about the nullifier, because he found it with Omer way back on episode 4. I'm like, we're like creating the whole of the fan fiction here, but this is what I'm hearing from the guy himself. This is what I've been making videos the last few weeks talking about, things that you don't see on camera that can change your perception of how you view players or moments in the show. Not all of them are strategy based, like Shane finding a brick of cocaine, but you never know. Maybe that played out. But in this case, Jonathan knowing that Omer has this idol nullifier, Lindsay knows about the idol nullifier. Jonathan doesn't know Lindsay knows. So there's a disconnect. Omer's the middleman, and he's fostered good relations with both of them right before Drea reveals 30 minutes before tribal council. According to Omer, this is all according to Omer. We don't get to see most of this. We get to see Drea talk to Omer. Omer talks to Lindsay. We see that too. And they call the shot. We're going to take out Drea. Omer says, I shouldn't have done that. I think I should have let her steal Mike's idol, nullified the idol, and sent her out anyway. But I wouldn't have pissed off Mike and Jonathan. Because what we don't see in this beginning of this episode, and I'm like, this is the fascinating stuff about Survivor. I'm like Big Brother. We usually get to see Big Brother, which makes it... more, I feel better about the analysis that we can draw. It turns out a little bit, even though we see Mike at the beginning of this episode say, I don't trust Omer, he's got to go. I'm like, that was a hard turn from last week when he gave him his idol. What changed? And it turns out, according to Omer, what changed was Jonathan. Jonathan was like, I don't trust Omer and Lindsay. They all of a sudden are too close. And he goes to Mike and he's like, Mike, he's got a nullifier. He's going to nullify. He's going against you at the final five. You're a sitting duck and you don't know it. And I know that. And I don't trust Omer now because he's too close to Lindsay. And I'm like, wow, this is a lot of gameplay, that changes how I perceive like Mike at the beginning, how I perceive Jonathan a little bit as far as like how I would give him in the Stockwatch, like what rating I would give them. Of course, it's like using footage. We don't have the footage of that. So it's a little bit of hearsay. It comes from a firsthand source, but there's a lot. There's a lot going on here. And this is in the first like few minutes of the episode that sort of snowballs. So it starts with Drea going, but we're trying to fill in the blanks here as to how Mike figured it out all of a sudden and why all of a sudden Mike and Jonathan are buddy buddies, like in lockstep. Turns out there's a lot going on and the editors just didn't show us any of it, any of the nullifier coming into play. So
yeah, it's a weird choice. I you know, not to get too much into the edit, I think that my overall take from this episode is that I think that, you know, it's Marianne's episode, and I think that it's leading to a Marianne win. That's my read on it, and I think that maybe the reason all of this is left out is because it's a lot of stuff that doesn't involve Marianne.
I think it's very easy when you just look at the episode to understand for the most part. You don't really need to get into the weeds of it. Sometimes that gets a little bit takes too much time. Maybe it's not relevant enough to like the overall story. It's not compelling enough television. It doesn't really play up like the idol nullifier. It's the drama around it, but they can easily just get rid of all that, cut it out, and just sort of give us a general idea of what's happening. Like we got to the same destination. The exact path to get to it was just, they cut out a little bit of here conversations. So that's all. I don't think it puts like a massive stain on the episode. I love the episode regardless, but it's interesting to hear that there was this advantage for the entire season that was going to play into their end games that ultimately didn't show up at all. So.
Yeah, for sure. And it certainly played into the previous episode as well, given the choices that were made. So, it's interesting stuff. It's very interesting. Yeah. And it's also like, you know, hearing about Jonathan, like I've been thinking, like it's, and I don't know, you know, where the turn from Jonathan comes. Does it come from the stuff with Drea leaving and what she said? And did he have the light bulb moment, or was it something that had been building? Like why he was so suspicious of Omer and Lindsay together. You know, was it that Omer really was trying to get Jonathan out and really hadn't been, you know, working on that relationship as much as he should have? It's hard to know. I think honestly, we probably need to hear probably from Jonathan the most, considering he seems to be the one that sparks the flame.
I want to hear from Jonathan first and foremost, because I think it's going to dictate like this episode a little, the drama that the snowball as it gets going, like what caused him to turn on Omer that quickly and to then to tell Mike, which then gets Mike on board to take out Omer, which then leads Mike to get together with
Marianne. Yeah.
And say, hey, I'm not with Omer anymore. I have no, he's no longer my best friend. You guys are my best friends now. Which then leads to Marianne telling him about the extra vote, which then creates, and Marianne, I think to her credit, says, I trust Omer. I still trust Omer. I love Omer. I've been working with Omer since the very beginning of the game. But at this point, it's not about that. Mike is like, I don't know what Mike's thinking, but it feels like if we look at previous episodes, he's probably like, Omer, I don't trust him anymore based on the information we've seen. So he's willing to cut him. But Marianne's like, I can't beat him. Like, I straight up, I can't beat Omer in the final three. I'm going to lose the game. I have to get him out now. I can't wait till final five or final four. It doesn't give us enough room to control what's going on, because you don't have that much control at the final four anymore. This is the fire making coming into play. She's like, we have to get him out at six. If we don't get him out at six. And they talk about this a little bit. You can sort of read between the lines, because they wanted to get out Romeo as the safe vote. And I'm like, and Marion's like, no, like, we at least should try, because if she doesn't play the idol for him, we can get him out for sure. At least she's like, I think I can, if I can trust Romeo. You guys want to send Romeo out. And Romeo's not a big threat. He's clearly like not highly regarded. He's probably not going to win a jury vote. I don't think he's much of a challenge threat, and I don't want to dunk on Romeo too much. I seem to like that. He seems fine from what I've seen, but you know, this is a great read, and it's like that's sort of what causes Marianne to the way that she operates this whole episode is, I have to get him out because this is going to make the end game easier and I'm more likely to win the game. I don't know if Mike had exactly that on mind. Mike's more like, I need to survive, need to get to the next vote, I need to get Jonathan here with me now. But I'm like, yeah, but you know, you might not be winning at this point, because you might end up with Omer or Lindsay in the final three, and you don't have a choice. You can't get them out. Like Chrissy couldn't get Ben out. And if she had taken him out when they could have voted, maybe they would have, obviously idols and all that, but still. I love what Marianne, the way she was operating from the beginning of the episode to the very end.
Yeah. Rob in the chat says, according to Omer's exit interview with Rob, Jonathan found out Omer told Lindsay about his idol nullifier and was shocked they were that close. But how did he find out and when? Do we know that?
They said that when he was talking in the 30 minutes after Dreim, was this before they voted out Drea or was it when they got back? I'm guessing it was before. He said that Jonathan noticed that Omer was talking too long to Lindsay for what Jonathan perceived would be a normal amount of time at that point, because they didn't have that much time. And he said that he noticed that Omer spent most of his time strategizing with Lindsay, which we did see in the episode. And he said that ultimately they called that shot and Jonathan, I think he went with it. This is what I'm trying to understand here. And so then he said that when they came back, he questioned both Omer and Lindsay. And Omer said that it seemed like they had probably had different stories as to what happened. Jonathan found out that Lindsay knew about the idol nullifier through Lindsay, because she mentioned it. This is how they figured out what to do with the vote. So I'm guessing there's a lot of like in the weeds conversation details that ultimately like trigger Jonathan to be like, okay, they're closer than I realized and they're working together at this point and I'm in trouble and I can't trust them. It's a lot.
It is a lot. Yeah. And so going back to Marianne as well. So it seems like when Marianne finds out that Marianne is very upset at the idea that like Omer is somebody that she needs to get out, right? And that like the implication is that she is somebody that potentially couldn't beat Omer, would lose against anyone. To which to me implies that like she's probably sitting there thinking, I'm going to the end with Omer and maybe Lindsay. Like, maybe that was the plan. I'm not sure. Maybe she would. I mean, obviously Romeo is a great option. I can't imagine she wouldn't want to be in the end with Romeo, but I imagine she was probably looking to go with at least one of Omer or Lindsay. And this information that Mike brings her, like, hey, no, Omer has been playing the game. Him and Lindsay have been basically the power players. She's like, well, crap. Like, my whole plan is ruined. If that's the case, I'm going to lose this game. I need to figure something else out. That's sort of the implication that the edit at least gave me in terms definitely. Of Marianne's headspace.
She says, you know, to the audience, to the camera, like, Mike is right. Like, Omer is this big threat. He got a lot of credit for all that. He basically called that whole shot with the whole idol. Apparently, like, Marianne saw Mike get the idol back from Omer. So she's like, there's a lot going on. She didn't know about the knowledge's power. This is probably a lot of news to her. So she's pretty rattled and startled. And I think to some extent, a lot of them are, and for many different reasons, which is just a case for Omer, being the tall nail too soon when he should have waited a little bit more. And so, yeah, Marianne is all of a sudden like, you know what? We got to change plans, change of plans. Like, this has to change based on new information. And that's how you do it. You adapt.
Yeah. And so it's interesting here. As we see that from the episode's perspective, at least, it seems like Mike is the one leading this charge. And certainly he is the one that gets Marianne on board. And so initially it feels like, okay, this is Mike's move. He is going to make this move. Dre also told Mike, like, you know, if he's sitting there, he's going to win. And now he's going to be the one that makes the move to take Omer out. And when I was watching the episode, I was like, okay, obviously for Marianne, it's great for Omer to go out, but it's not great for it to be Mike's move that he convinced her to do, right? So like the options are either subvert it in some way, take Omer out on your own at a future date, which there's not many left of those, or somehow make it your own, somehow make it like, no, this wasn't Mike's move, this was my move. We're going to see her take that latter path as you mentioned, Mike and Jonathan back out after Lindsay wins immunity, which gives her the perfect opportunity to not only be the person now pushing for the move to happen because they've backed out, but also to flip her own vote in Romeo and basically take two of the three votes that are the only votes to send Omer out, which really just piles the credit onto her. And of course, the question then remains, now it's, you know, heading into the final five. Has she peaked too early? Probably not, considering she's got an idol that she'll just straight up play at five, which means she's guaranteed fire making, worst case, which means as long as she doesn't lose fire making, she wins the game. And she has an opportunity to, you know, not even be going to fire making. So her odds are very good at this point, I think. This is about the time to peak if you have an idol.
I would 100% agree. I think this is the time. You know, she sees the day. She took advantage of the numbers, and she's the only player this episode who had everyone's trust. Everyone was going to, she was the locus of power. Everything flowed. Mike and Jonathan were with her, and they were like, let's just brute force this 4-3, blast Romeo out. We got the numbers at 5. We can just hope for the best. You know, we could beat one of them at 5, send the other one home, unless there's a hidden idol comes back or something. This is complicated because we don't fully know exactly what the rules would have looked like at 5 with, like, I don't think an idol's coming back. Let's be real. It wasn't even an idol that didn't get used today. It was an advantage amulet. I'm not sure what that means as far as the rules playing.
I felt like that was a weird call to not use the idol because they were worried it might come back.
Yeah, I thought that wasn't a great call personally. I thought that was a pretty grave mistake. I think it's a grave mistake, especially knowing where we are, like what we know. And also now that the episode's fleshed out and we see the results, they decided not to play it because they were worried that it would put them in a duo at the final five and they would get outnumbered. But then you look at what was going on before they played it or had the choice to, and they were already viewed as a duo. But they just didn't realize that Lindsay and Omer didn't realize that they were already viewed as that duo, that power duo. They were outnumbered whether they liked it or not. And now by not playing that, it didn't It's just like, okay, I understand the logic of we don't want to be outnumbered at five. Let's try to play it low key. But the cat was already out of the bag, you know, at that point.
Yeah. And I think that's a big thing we have to talk about when we talk about Omer and Lindsay's game this week,
yeah.
Is that, you know, disregarding whether they should have played the idol or not on, you know, in normal circumstances, the fact of the matter is they failed to read that people had turned on them, right? Like they failed to see that, that the tides had changed and that people were, I mean, we even see a scene where Jonathan and Lindsay are together after the reward. And Jonathan's like, we both know, I know. And she knows that I know. And it's obvious to both of us. And then Lindsay's like, he has no idea. And it's like, ooh, Jonathan's not even trying very hard to hide it. But they weren't able to catch on to the fact that something was wrong. And if they do catch on to something is wrong, then yeah, they obviously then need to play it. So the fact that they couldn't catch on is like a little bit of a docked point, right? And then if there's a situation where you do feel very comfortable, you feel like there's no chance it's going to flip on us, and because of that, you know, you want to think about how to use the idol optimally. I still feel like not playing it is not the call that I'd make, considering that it expires. I would never assume, I get it. Survivor rules are finicky at best. But I would never assume that an expired idol that wasn't even like a found idol in the first place would then be rehidden after it expired. Just because it was used versus expired. Like if it was going to be rehidden, I would assume that it would be rehidden whether or not I used it, considering again, it expires at six anyway.
I thought that too. I was like, well, what's to stop them? If it's gone, if it's dead after this episode, then it might just come back anyway. Then you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to deal with the circumstances that you're worried about, regardless of whether you play it or not. It seemed like that wasn't the main motivating factor. It seemed like it was more they were worried about the optics of being viewed as a duo and outnumbered going into the next round. But then she didn't play it, and now she's in a 4v1, probably, so she's actually in a worse spot, and Omer's gone, which is even obviously the worst-case scenario. Like, your game is gone because of this. Didn't happen. So I feel like the risk versus reward wasn't properly assessed. And just, like, the fact that Omer at the beginning is like, I got Mike exactly where I want him. And then we cut to Mike, and Mike's like, yeah, I need to get rid of Omer. And I'm like, I don't think that's where Mike should be, Omer. I don't think that's where you want him to be.
Yeah.
So, and then you have Lindsay and the Jonathan dynamic, which didn't look good for Lindsay. So I'm like, oh no, this is really going in the wrong direction for these two. It doesn't look good for Lindsay going into this final five, but
yeah. And I think this is actually like a good example of something that, that Tyson, said way back in the day, which is that what he said when he went
which
back.
Season?
And he,
which season?
Blood versus water.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Yeah.
Where he talked about how sometimes winners coming back are at a disadvantage because they've never experienced what it's like to be blindsided. And I think that perhaps Omer had a little bit of this problem where things had gone so well for him all season long. Like week after week or round after round, he just continued to completely get his way all the way through. Never failed in anything that he attempted to do, pretty much from what we saw. Maybe like didn't entirely get a vote to go entirely his way, but never really caught any heat. And so didn't really know what to look for in terms of like people flipping on him or turning on him in some way, right? Because he just always had that level of being comfortable. He had so many days, so many tribal councils of experience, going in nervous, it turns out the right way. Going in nervous, it turns out the right way. And then, so, you know, it like the one time where it does flip, it's like, oh crap. I guess I should have been paying closer attention to that. And probably if he went back, he'd recognize those moments a little more.
Yeah. He did talk about how he's not a big fan of confrontation in real life. And, that might've been a mistake for him because he didn't confront the dynamic of Jonathan and Lindsay at this point. And he wasn't willing to go to that length to possibly grab that information or get that read on where Jonathan stood and what Lindsay had possibly given him or how Lindsay, it seemed like there was a little bit of, he took his foot off the gas a little bit, at this point. And it might be because, if you look at look at the season at large, anytime he's been involved in the votes in the pre-merge or post-merge, he's pretty much got his way. I mean, maybe he would regret a vote now, but looking back at it, assuming he were to win the season, like he's controlled or been a part of in a successful way, every single vote. He called the shot for Drea, high. He was there to get Roxroy out, Chanel. The big one was getting Lydia out, protecting Marianne at the merge. That allowed, unfortunately, enabled Marianne to be at this position here today. But, you know, it's tough. Survivor is like, at the moment, like we talked about at the beginning of the podcast, you can get all the steam you want, but you don't really win Survivor until the end. And so at this point, it's sort of like all that gets usurped by Marianne. She makes the big move that invalidates all the other moves that Omer has made in a way, or all that credit he got now just sort of like, yeah, but now all those cards, all that money goes to her pot. Now it's on her side of the table. And now she has gone from being a potential goat or just a under the radar, maybe a coattail writer, to being somebody who is legitimately the front runner to win going into the finale. I would also agree with you. I think she is going to win. She's my winner pick. She's been my winner pick for a bit, but I was like, I don't know how exactly, just reading between the lines of the editing, but I'm like, okay, I see it now. I get it. It makes sense. The clouds have parted. And good for her.
Well, if I'm not mistaken, last season you were on the Erica train, right?
Yeah, but not for most of it. Like, I felt better about it. I didn't even have Erica by episode 3, which is when I make a video talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, I felt a lot more confident with the Marianne. I felt confident about Taku. I like the Taku tribe. Mm-hmm. I'm like, of the three, the fact that they like completely didn't even show Ika in one of the episodes was like, yo, that's weird. Erica didn't see until like the week before I spoke to you. So even though I was right, it didn't really feel as good, I guess.
The last time we talked, you saw Erica and I still was like, I just don't see it. Whereas yeah. I feel like I have been seeing Marianne for a little while, and I feel like this episode really just completely locked it in for me. But we'll see. I mean, that's last time I was completely blindsided. So
I'd say it's not a done deal. I kind of felt like it might be Lindsay. She's getting that late up until
I feel
today,
like she's the only other option, but yeah, it does feel very late. But that's what it felt like with Erica a little bit too. But
it did. It did. Would they do it again? I don't think so. I don't think they're doing
it. Me neither.
Again.
I don't think they do it again either. I think Marianne is a great example of something that, the most recent winner of Big Brother Canada really talked about a lot when they played the game, which was that you can never underestimate any individual player of the game. I think that a lot of people thought that because of Marianne's, a lot of people in the game, thought that because of Marianne's position, which was not good, that she was maybe not a great player. But that's not necessarily the case. Sometimes good players get put in bad positions and they just have to wait for an opportunity to showcase what they've got. And if you start underestimating somebody because, oh, well, they're on the bot. They, you know, didn't fit in with their original tribe well enough, or they didn't fit in with the merge group well enough, or whatever the case may be. Therefore, they must not be a very good player. Therefore, I can use them as a number. I can use them for whatever I need to use them for. And it'll be nice and simple. But the second you give them any rope, they go, oh, look at this. And they start using it against you. And I feel like that's exactly what happened here, where Mike and presumably Jonathan pitched to Marianne, let's make this move. And Marianne is initially like, let me think about it. Comes around to the idea. And then they're like, actually, we don't want to do the move. And she's like, too late. The train is moving. And guess what? Now it's your choice. You either get on board or you get left behind. And just like that, I mean, I feel like Mike, I don't know how he can win the game. I don't care that Drea says he gets the votes at the end. I don't see how he can win the game, especially with Omer on the jury. Crediting Marianne for this move and discrediting Mike for believing in his high lie, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I just feel like the portrayal of Mike is going to be one of somebody who is easily manipulated. And so I don't think that Mike can win. I don't think that Jonathan can win, considering his social game, what it appears to be at least. And obviously Romeo is not very well respected in the game either. I also think that Romeo is a very capable player. And if you gave him enough rope, he'd be able to do something with it. The problem is that he's so far behind. Nobody's giving him even that. He's got no idol. He's got no extra vote. And nobody's coming to him to flip except for Marianne, who's like, the sort of halfway mark between him and the rest of the group. So with that in mind, I feel like Lindsay's the only threat to the Marianne win at this point. And I don't know that anybody really sees that. And so I feel like, just like that, she just completely leapfrogs them in the pack. Not that she couldn't beat them before, but whereas before, I think she would have beaten them in a final tribal out of pure heart and likability and out talking them in the finals. Now she's got likability over them, and I think she's got strategy over them. And I feel like she'll just crush them in the end.
Yeah, I think that she's underrated. I think she's been underrated by most of the audience from what I've seen, at least online. They're not taking into consideration the likability of the jury and how much they've enjoyed her. Also, there are probably some bitter Bettys on the jury. And if you look at somebody like Mike, who is saying one thing, doing another, that's going to come back to bite you.
Some bitter Bettys or some petty Bettys?
Petty Betty.
Yes, you can, Sam, if there's the out there. Some bitter, who knows who. Mike has been somewhat fostering, I think, resentment against him. And we're going to see it come out, whether he's in the final three or in the Ponderosa tapes that we're not getting. Omer also said there was some hard feelings when he got to Ponderosa. And I'm like, that's going to come out in a couple of days. You know, that's not going away. This isn't like 2 weeks out. This is, we're day 23 going into day 24, and we've got 3 days left. And I think that if Mike is sitting there, he's going to have a lot to own up to and to explain. And it doesn't look good when he has to explain it, because I don't know if he can fully explain it in a way that's going to win over their respect. From what we've seen, at least, from the story, from the confessionals of Mike getting played and, turning his back on Roxroy or turning his back on High or whatever. And it seems like he's more short-term, emotion-based a little bit, and people have used that against to get what they want, use that for their favor, like Omer. And I don't think that Marianne has had that. She's been under the radar. She's been at the bottom. I do think people will look at her game overall when they assess her game, whether she wins or loses, and say, well, for a large part of it, she was on the outs. She was somewhat at the bottom, but she had a lot of power players in her corner protecting her. We hear about this from Omer at the beginning of the merge, and he says, we have to keep her around, and she could be our arsenal to use down the line, which is ironic now, but at the time it was funny. It was like, okay. Now she's sitting here having usurped the power players. I think that both Jonathan and Mike, I don't know for sure what this move is going to look like after. Like, does this all of a sudden make Marianne the big nail that needs to get hammered down? She can't, though, because she's got an idol at the final five. So I don't think there's a secret idol nullifier number two out there, I don't think, although who knows at this point. But I don't think there's going to be. So she's now in the final four, and all she has to do is win or make a fire or potentially get taken. Both Mike and Jonathan want her there. They seem to want that to be their final three from what we saw this episode, which I thought was an interesting perspective, because I thought, why not Romeo? And I just think it's because they don't have any trust in Romeo, or at least from Mike's perspective. I don't really hear much from Jonathan, but Mike is like, I can't work with him. I would rather have Marianne. I seem to trust her. Why would he pick Marianne over Romeo when the perception is Romeo is potentially a losing player who can't beat any of them on a jury vote? I don't get it. I'm like, between the two, they seem to both be there. Well, you clearly have a better relationship between Marianne versus Romeo. Romeo is getting underestimated, or at least underutilized, and Marianne picked him up and completely stole the show. And it was with that Romeo vote. She needed Romeo in her corner. Nobody else wanted to consider that. Just wanted to blast him out the airlock, send him out in a 4-3 vote. And Marianne Sexton said, you know what? Let's just take a chance. Let's split it 2-2-2, put my extra vote. And at worst, Romeo goes in a revote. At best, Omer goes. we got nothing to lose. Obviously, Romeo could turn and vote out Jonathan, but guess who got the right read at the end of the day? Marianne. She pulled Romeo into her corner, convinced him the right thing to do. He did it. All credit to Marianne for that. It's beautiful. It's a great move. It's a great move. And it starts with the Mike Jonathan, but it culminates with all of the bonds and the advantages and the understanding of the game and the jury breakdown and the threats. It comes from Marianne and it ends at the end of the episode with Marianne.
Yeah. And I think the key to it as well is that, if Romeo does flip and vote out Jonathan, then it's Jonathan that gets voted out, right? Like, or if something goes wrong and they vote for Mike because somebody rats them out and they know that Mike betrayed them or whatever, then it's Mike that gets voted. The key to all of this in my eyes, the thing that really solidifies that this is Marianne's move more than anybody else's is that Marianne's the safest person in this play. Marianne is the person who gets to push for it. And the reason why Mike and Jonathan are hesitant is because their lives are on the line if it goes wrong. And rightfully so, because, their lives are on the line. And the fact that their lives are on the line is sort of the proof that this is Marianne's play and not their play. Why did you go through with that? If this had gone another way, you would have been the one out. Well, you know, Marianne really wanted to do it and we couldn't say no. Right. Having other people take the risks while you reap the rewards is the best way, I think, to sort of like show the jury that you did the move, more so than anybody else. So,
yeah.
So that's where we are. I think that we can move into the ratings here. I picked out another sound clip from the episode, that I thought was interesting because, Jeff was really, he was like, man, the sounds of the challenge, right? Let's listen to, cause I've been a fan of the editors over the last couple of, seasons, these new editing style, but this one I was a little, confused about.
Sometimes it's fun to just listen to the sounds of the challenge.
Okay. That's yeah. Not the sounds of the challenge.
That's what I thought. I thought, oh, we're going to get like some ASMR challenge. What's going on here? And then I'm like, that's the background music. That's yeah. The sound effects.
I was like, the Curb theme came on. Dur, dur, dur. Like, what is happening here? I can't even hear the sounds of the challenge behind the music.
What you don't see is there's a producer with a boombox playing that in right. The background. That's the sound of the challenge. It was very raw. It was very powerful. It really took me into the moment. I felt like I was in Fiji listening to those sounds.
Yeah, yeah. We just didn't notice that those blocks were making musical notes at the same time. It's like one of those staircases. All right, are we ready for the Stockwatch ratings?
I'm good to go.
All right. Jeff, why don't you tell us to get ready?
Let's do it. Final six.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Okay. Let's talk about the final six. We'll start with Omer as the person who was voted out. Omer's been getting pretty consistent, like nines and tens and maybe some eights here and there over the last few weeks. Obviously as the person voted out here, can't go that way. So the question is like, how high can he be considering that he was ultimately voted out? I think, the question for me is like, how much of this was his fault? I think that we can say a decent amount. I think that, ultimately he got caught. It's hard to know the specifics of how, like where that conversation was with Lindsay, where Jonathan figured things out. I think there are scenarios where Jonathan figures out that Lindsay knows about the idol nullifier and still doesn't turn on Omer because they've had that kind of relationship enough and probably worlds where he doesn't even question Lindsay about it at all because he trusts Omer so much. And I feel like in my eyes, when I was watching the episode, not even knowing about all the idol nullifier stuff, I was very confused about why Omer really wanted Jonathan out in the first place. Because in my eyes, Jonathan is the Xander of the season. He is somebody that, like, ostensibly looks like he should be a target, but is he really gonna get any jury votes? Maybe a couple. Maybe if there are some people on the jury that respect the size and competition layers of it. But he hasn't really been a strategic force in the game, at least up until he attempts to make a move on Omer here, but then it becomes Marianne's. And he hasn't even won that many challenges individually. And he seems to have pissed off a lot of people, and a lot of people don't really respect him on a social level a whole lot, at least from the edit. And that's the thing. It could just be the edit, and maybe on the island he really was a huge threat. But from my perspective, at least, it didn't seem like Jonathan was a threat to win the game, that somebody who he could get to the end, but he probably won't win. And for that reason, like, I feel like I'm holding on tight to Jonathan. I'm making sure that this guy never even questions me at all. And I feel like that's what Omer is trying to do with Mike. And ultimately it fails with Mike too. But, I have to wonder if the what came first? Did Omer kind of feel like Jonathan's drifting from me and that's why he needs to go? Or does Jonathan start to drift because Omer keeps considering maybe I should just cut him loose? And that kind of seeps through into their relationship. Either way, I just don't know that I fully agree with the call to take Jonathan out here. I just don't know that it makes sense for Omer.
Yeah, I think it's this, like, his fall from grace, Omer's fall from grace starts with the decision, the panicked last minute decision to cut Drea. And I guess there's a lot of underlying things that it just won't, like, if we had live feeds, we could probably understand where this started and where this decision making finally came to an end. This was the last straw. And Jonathan said, all right, I'm done. I'm ready to flip. I don't know, because we didn't really see a lot of it. We haven't really seen Jonathan's social game or his strategy come out very often. And when it did, it wasn't very good. So in the case of Omer, he showed up and he misread, everyone. He misread all four of the other players other than Lindsay. He got too comfortable. He got survivor confident, as he said. It's not a great place to be. And it's how a lot of these players tend to go out. They get too comfortable and confident. I think it is pretty damning from my perspective that he just had the wrong read on all of them. Even a Romeo, who apparently was actually somewhat in a good place with Omer. But he was just convinced, Romeo was convinced by Marianne to go against him. That's pretty big, like, to just be like, to be decent, apparently on decent terms, to now voting you out. That's pretty striking, because, you know, you're not going back from that if it goes through, if Romeo's vote, which it was a huge part of Omer going. Yeah, he had tunnel vision. He said his plan was foolproof. I didn't get that at all. I was very confused, because I'm like, wait, no, hold on. Look at the votes. They want to do like a 5-2, I think, was their vote. It was going to be 5 on Jonathan, 2 on Mike. But I'm like, but if one of these players decides to change it up, particularly Marianne, it's easy to exploit. Like, that's ripe for, and it's exactly what happened. And there's so many iterations of how it could have gone against him. 3-2-2, 2-2-2, I don't know, whatever else happens. So yeah, I ultimately didn't feel great about Omer this episode at all. I was looking between a couple and really low numbers for him. I've never participated this season in the Stockwatch, so I don't know exactly what your barometer is for a 1 to a 10. I know a 10 is oftentimes a Dan Giesling. I don't know what that looks like in Survivor. Maybe a Tony Vlachos, but
maybe a Tony.
I was nestling pretty low for him. I'm curious to know what you had, what number you were going to give him.
Yeah, so I think that, you know, I like I said, I think the potentially trying to target Jonathan, and again, this always comes with the caveat of, like, there's so much we don't see, and I think that the idol nullifier stuff is the best proof of that of why I need to continue to give that disclaimer. But I didn't agree with him targeting Jonathan. Then, considering the fact, yes, I think misreading the situation, not realizing that he's in trouble, big negative. And also, I think that in terms of a boot episode, I do have to also dock him some points, considering how many outs he had here. He had a lot of options to survive this, between just straight up like figuring out the situation and probably being capable of winning a vote or two back. the fact that he starts the episode holding an idol that he ultimately gives to the person that's going to be voting him out in the end of the episode. The fact that his closest ally was also holding an idol that she could have played on him because it expired and it had no use otherwise because she had immunity. And the thing is, like, on an individual level, I don't fault him too much for any of these individual things. Like, you know, not realizing that people fibbed on you, like, it can be hard to realize it when it happens, and it's a very short window. Giving the idol back, I get it. I get that decision, especially since he feels like he has Mike, and Mike is telling him in the moment, like, this is not my idol now, it's our idol, and it feels like it's a very, like, I can see a lot of scenarios where that's the correct move to make. Stealing it at that point where there's two rounds left and you probably can't win immunity, that it's only going to protect you for one round, and you're probably going to be the biggest target the next round. I get why you'd give it back. And then even the Lindsay thing, like, again, disregarding the Reed's situation, I can see why Lindsay wouldn't want to just burn an idol on Omer and why Omer wouldn't want it to be burned on him to prevent that duo perception. I still feel from Lindsay's perspective, just use it on anybody at that point. Use it on Marianne. Use it on Romeo and be like, look, this is how close I am to you. Whatever. I don't care. Use it. Just use it to use it. In my eyes, but either way, there were so many options to really highlight just how much it mattered that he wasn't able to read that something was wrong, right? And so I think for all of those reasons, I do have to go pretty low. Not going to go so low though, because like part of the reasons why he had so many outs is because he was such a good player. And he had so many, like, he was holding an idol because he convinced the dude to give it to him the night before. And his ally, and he had an ally who had an idol that could have used it on him because he had that level of relationship. And he probably could have flipped a vote back if he had figured it out because he was that good at flipping votes. And if he survives this round, he's definitely the front runner to win the game. And so it's one of those, like, yeah, bad episode, but still, it's not like somebody who is drawing dead got themselves voted out and it was never going to happen anyway. So it needs to be different than like a one situation. But I do think that for Omer, it's a big fall from grace. It's a bad episode. I went with like a 3 for Omer.
All right. I'll give him an honorary 7. No, I'm kidding. I was debating between a 2 and a 3. And I'm like, if I'm going to be nice, I'm going to give him a 3. But if I'm going to be really mean, I'm going to give him a 2. Just because you got to get that idol played on you. It's so easy. It's the last time it can be played. You're worried about being perceived as a threat, a duo in the final 5. But the alternative is you might get voted out. And he just completely glossed over. Didn't really think it was going to be a thing that he was going to go. He felt like he was so good. And you see the episode and he's just so not. It's just the whole drama was he lost the trust of Jonathan, of Mike, of Marianne, and Romeo turned on him too, you know, was convinced to go against him. That's really rough. He did have a lot of outs and he was good enough to be in a position where he had a lot of ways to get out of this. I needed a little more desperation, just a little bit more, like, he was playing too cute. It's a little too cute, I think. He's like, I don't want to push too hard to have her play and keep me safe to the final 5. But you do that because you're in the final 5. And if you see Marianne put 3 votes on you, you go from there and you work, you fix that because you now know that's a thing that you can work with. But he didn't even consider it, it sounds like. It sounds like he really wasn't considering that was even going to be a thing. He said he underestimated her in his exit press, that he didn't even see her doing all this strategizing and moving about. He thought she was just sick and constipated in the shelter. So it's more credit to Marianne. But yeah, I guess I'll give him a 3 just to be nice. But I could have gone lower. I think he's good enough that he'll get a 3.
There you go.
And bad enough to not be higher.
All right. So... I mean, it's tough here because I do think that, in terms of win equity now, only one episode remaining was just the finale left. So it's like, on one hand, Lindsay is the other person on the outs here. Doesn't play the round very well. Could have used her idol on Omer. Doesn't. And I still also feel like for Lindsay, why are you going after Jonathan? There must be something I'm not seeing in terms of Jonathan's win equity. And there's probably a great chance that, the season ends and it's like, oh, no, Jonathan, if he got there, he would have won or something like that. And I'm like, whoa, I didn't see that at all. Then, but because he didn't get there, like, who knows? Or whatever. I don't know. Who knows? But from my eyes, I see Jonathan as a losing finalist. And I don't really understand why it was so important to get him out, when there are bigger threats in my eyes, like Marianne and in even Mike to a degree. If you're Lindsay, let's be real, Homer. that's not really on the table. That said, I think that Lindsay has some of the better win equity remaining in the game, in terms of, again, what I'm seeing from the jury for, again, Mike, Jonathan, and Romeo. I'm looking at all of them as potentially losing against anybody other than themselves. I think that Marianne and Lindsay beat all three of them. And for that reason, it's like, well, I can't. How do I have her lower than people I think that are a lot less likely to win the game, unless they get both Marianne and Lindsay out, which means that Lindsay has to lose Final Five immunity. They vote Lindsay out, and then Marianne has to lose Final Four immunity and lose Fire. And then one of these three guys can win the game.
Yeah.
it's a tall order.
It's a zigging and zagging as you get there for a couple of them.
And they have to know that they need to do it too.
Right. Which, that's the bigger thing, yeah, too. I'm like, maybe Marianne making this move will make them like more alert, like it did for Omer going into the final six. Now, maybe for Marianne going into the final five, maybe Lindsay can recuperate and can say, look what just happened. There's no way I'm the biggest threat anymore. I just got bamboozled at the end. The last thing the jury sees is, you know, she admits, like, I didn't know this was happening. And, you know, this is all credit to Marianne here. So, and Mike has been there doing his thing, and he was in on this, I think, and Jonathan to an extent. And there's something about Jonathan that I don't think we're getting into the edit about his social game. That's why I'm like, is it tunnel vision? Just like I could beat him and I would rather be immune, and he's the most likely player to prevent me from being immune, because it's a bit one dimensional. That's a bit like not considering anything else. Or is there's always more to it, but we just don't know off the top of our head. Without assuming, for me, I was left feeling pretty rough about Lindsay. I think she has a decent prospect to win if she gets to the final three, but I don't think that I think she's the least likely player right now to be in the final three. Yeah. So that's good that you have enough of a repertoire, resume, whatever, to win, but you can't cash in on that if you're not there to do that. Her episode performance, I didn't like. It was almost similar to Omar in every step. Which was bad. I considered a two for Omar, and I was like, I don't know if I want to put Lindsay there because she's not gone. She did win the challenge, which is worth something at the end of the day. Winning immunity, you can work with that. But then you had the ability to do something with this token, this item, this amulet, and you didn't do anything with it, and you lost your potential shield, at least for the final five, that it would guarantee you at least final four. Then at that point, it really does come down to you and you alone. Like, if you can win the final four immunity, win fire making, you probably could win this season, but you didn't. You're not giving yourself that option because you fumbled the ball at the final six. I also was sitting at a three for Lindsay, but that was somewhat determined on if I gave Omer a three. But ultimately, I think it's basically the same. The only difference is Lindsay's still in the game, but I think she's not in a good position. I do think she's most likely to get voted out at the final five. She has to win immunity. I don't know if she can turn this around for her. If she doesn't, I don't think that's going to happen based on what we saw. Mike and Jonathan seem too close now. Marianne doesn't seem to care about working with her. I don't think it's in her best interest to do that anyway. So I would hope that she doesn't really. And then you got Romeo, and I'm like, I don't really know where Romeo is anyway, but it's not looking good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I went with a five for Lindsay as a kind of way to balance out, I think, the poor performance in this episode and the bleak prospects of getting to the end, with the fact that she is somebody who, if she gets to the end, I think she can win. And she's one of, I think, two, like, I think basically she beats everybody other than potentially Marianne. And for that reason, she's basically two immunities away, immunity at five and then immunity and or fire at four. She's got two chances at that. So really just like she needs to get through five, and then she's got a really good chance to get through four. That said, I think she needs immunity in both instances. Even the small out you might give her of well, now that Marianne's pulled this big thing off, will they go after Marianne? Doesn't matter at all because Marianne has an idol for five, which means Lindsay needs immunity at five. I just think she flat out needs it. I think that they absolutely vote her out at five. In fact, I think that she is by far the most likely boot here at five. Especially again, considering like Marianne has an idol, Mike has an idol. It's, you know, immunities have been coming down to her or Jonathan. If Jonathan wins that immunity, it's flat out a done deal. Like there's no way they're voting Romeo out over her. So it's a tough spot for her to be. And that's why she's as low as she is for me. But that said, if she does pull out another immunity win, she's at four with a shot at immunity. And it's probably Jonathan that leaves instead of her, right? Because if she wins immunity, mm-hmm. now it's Jonathan over Romeo. Now she's got, she's at the final four, playing immunity against Marianne, Mike, and Romeo. Great chance to win that, hands down. And even if she doesn't, she can still play fire. She can't just straight be voted out. So, like, she's close. She's very far, but at the same time, very close.
She was close the moment she won immunity to this episode, but then she did nothing to make it better. And now she's in a worse spot, which is what makes me dock points. I'm like, you were at a decent place and then you kind of lost it. And now you're really going to have to scramble. So I would be shocked if she's in the final three at this point. And I don't know for sure that she would have been there regardless of saving Omer. I do wonder if Omer was a bigger threat. I'd be curious to know postseason. Like, who was the biggest threat going into this postseason, into the end game? Was it Omer, or was he playing a little too low, too under the radar? And Lindsay maybe was the front runner, or maybe somebody completely different. Like, who knows? Maybe Jonathan's actually a social mastermind. I don't know.
I think Lindsay's ideal was what would have happened without Marianne's involvement, which is, you know, let's say it's Romeo that leaves, right? They changed to Romeo. Or the plan never happens. Like, her plan was obviously to take out Jonathan here. If Jonathan leaves, I actually feel like that's not in her interests. But what would have happened without Marianne's involvement is Romeo leaves and then Omer's the next target, which I think is fantastic for her. So, Omer leaves at five. She goes to four with Jonathan, Mike, and Marianne. It's like at that point, all she needs to do is win either immunity or fire, and she's sitting in the final three.
Yeah.
Hopefully at that point, probably gets out Marianne as the biggest jury threat remaining. And then she's sitting with Jonathan and Mike, who I don't know how good their chances
are. She's 2-2 against Jonathan. She's beat him twice. He's beat her twice. This will probably be the tiebreaker at final five to decide who's the bigger challenge beast at this point. I think if you're in the final four, you got two chances between that and making a fire. That's pretty good. But she might not get that chance now.
I would say this, that if she gets out Jonathan at five, or sorry, at six, here, and then turns on Omer at five, that's the even more ideal.
And that's another problem. She didn't seem like she wanted to.
But I don't know that that was in the cards.
I think she was going to take Omer to four. So she might have also ultimately lost Omer, but not. So it would have been like this at the final six. But the difference is she's now in the final four, which is a lot better. Anyway. Yeah.
All right. So let's talk about Romeo. Unfortunately here, the biggest sort of non-factor, in this episode, at least, he is flipped over, but it's like, in terms of what we're seeing, very little agency here. Unlike Marianne, has no advantages to, or like scenarios where he's able to flip this to his own move. It's still just kind of like he's being used as a number to make this move happen, or at least that's again how it appears. And because of that, I just still feel like I just don't see any scenario where he wins this game. I think winning immunity at five and at four, maybe gives him a tiny push. But I don't think this jury is going to care about two end game immunities. I think they're going to be like, okay, but strategically, what did you do other than be dragged to the end? You didn't even need those immunities, dude. And what can he do strategically at this point? I think maybe if he, I think basically his only hope is to spearhead a Marianne boot. The problem being Marianne has an idol. He can't, there's nothing he can do to get Marianne out. Even if, like, so that means that he would need to, again, he'd need to get Marianne out at 4. But Marianne, if she goes out at 4, is going out to fire, which means he doesn't get strategic credit for it. He might get fire credit for it or winning immunity credit for it, but that's not the same thing as strategic credit for it. And I think that's what he needs. And so I just don't see him winning the game. I appreciate his adaptability here. I think that, you know, going along with what Omer wanted to do versus going with Marianne, I think going with Marianne is the call. And I like that he's willing and able to do that. It's just like, he's just so far behind. I just can't see him catching up. And for that reason, I had to give him a 3 as well. I don't want to put him lower than the person that was voted out, but I just don't see him winning the game. And yeah, he's close to the end though. And you never fully know. Maybe he can really pull something out at Final Tribal. I don't think so, but.
I mean, it's like, there's always, you know, you can't have a top without a bottom. You can't have light without dark. You can't have these moments. You got to have, somebody has to be lowest chance to win on the ladder. And unfortunately, I think Romeo is filling that spot right now. As far as what he can do to flip the script, I mean, it's like, he has to like somehow find a way to get some credit for this and being a part of it. To take out Omer, who seemingly was an impressive move, and he did, you know, play into that without his vote. Omer is not, you know, but then it's also like, yeah, but you had to do that. Like, if you leave Omer at the final five and Lindsay and Mike and Marianne, like, you know, you're really looking, even, it's actually, you look way worse. So it's tough. I think that I ultimately gave him, so his episode performance, I just looked at it like, is very neutral. Like, it was the right thing to do, but he doesn't really get a ton of it out of it. His position is better, but he's not really getting a ton of credit for it from my perspective. I think this is all going to go to Marianne with her double votes. It was her move. We saw it. We saw it play out. She orchestrated it. She got him involved. He had no idea. She even told him that the plan was to put all the votes on Omer. And then she goes and says, okay, you guys vote for Romeo. So she even pulls one over on him, on Romeo, which is fascinating and doesn't give me a lot of like, doesn't put a lot of credit for Romeo in this case. This is really all Marianne's doing, all the votes where they're going, except for the ones like Omer and Lindsay's vote, but those didn't matter. Yeah, I ultimately sat him, I gave him a 4, but that was me just because he's there. Probably no chance to win. But his performance this episode was just fine. It wasn't a bunch of blunders. It wasn't extraordinary. It was just there. And I think that for the most part, he's got the safety to get to the final three, assuming Mike and Jonathan don't like randomly decide to blast him or something. Maybe Lindsay wins immunity at final five. And they're just like, well, I mean, Marianne's safe. Mike's safe. Does Jonathan go? I don't know. Probably should go, but you never know. I think he's pretty safe. I think Romeo is in a safe spot to get to the end, to pitch his case. I don't know what case that's going to be. So for this particular episode, I was willing to be nice just so he gets a 4. But ultimately, it's like it's kind of just an honorary participation stock number, because I don't think he's winning this season, unfortunately, for him.
There you go. So let's talk about Jonathan then. Jonathan, who, not according to the episode, should get credit for the Omer thing, but maybe according to the exit interviews should get a little credit for the Omer thing. Either way, I don't think he's getting jury credit for the Omer thing. So, I think for the most part here, we can kind of leave it off the table. I mean, I like that regardless of who thought it up, he is willing to go against Omer, who he has been friends with and working with for a long time, able to recognize this guy's going to win the game. He's going to beat me. You know, credit for that for sure. That said, by backing out and allowing Marianne to take over the move, I think he gives up all of his remaining potential win equity. He thinks up the move that could potentially win him the game. And then he hands it to Marianne and says, oh no, you can take this. And now she has it and he has nothing. He has nothing left. And again, you could say like, maybe if he's able to, or like there's no more room to orchestrate anything left. If you don't have an idol at five, you're not orchestrating anything. It's either one or another person. So there's nothing, there's no more time to do anything. And he just gave Marianne the last move. I think that was a horrible mistake. I think that by the time you've backed out and Marianne is now going to take credit for this move, you need to flip it back on Marianne. You need to go back to Omer and be like, so Marianne wants to vote you out and take her out or something, right? You need to do something to prevent this, because if, let's say he does that, gets out Marianne in this vote, he then probably could flip it back around on Omer the next round. And then maybe at that point, he really does look like he's got a lot of strategic. And all of this is also true for Mike, by the way. Same story for when I'm going to rate Mike. I feel like, you know, they thought they were getting Marianne to do their plan. And then Marianne turned around and said, no, you're going to do my plan. And they said, okay. And I feel like that was such a big mistake on both of their parts, and credit to Marianne for getting them to do it. But I feel like it tanked what remained of both of their games. Obviously there's still a chance. If they get out Marianne and Lindsay, I think one of them's got to win. It'll probably be Mike, over John. That's my thought at least. but who knows? So that uncertainty, you know, I'll go a little, back and forth on. I think Mike is a little safer with his idol. I think he's also a little more likely to win the game if he gets there. So for me, I have Jonathan at a four and Mike at a five. I think they both screwed up this episode, but you know, they do still have some outs to win, but it's like not that great.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem is just the long-term prospect. I think in this particular vote, they managed to both survive. They had a plan. Their original plan was the safe vote, blast Romeo, put four votes on him, get Marianne. She's got the extra vote. They gained her trust. They got her on board. They got that knowledge of the extra vote. Mike was able to tell. They all sort of gathered their information and had a summit and said, hold on. All right, let's take stock. There's a nullifier, extra vote. We know that Mike has the idol, so we can use that. Lindsay has her advantage. How do we figure this out? And initially, at least before the immunity challenge, it's looking pretty good, smooth sailing. They've got the numbers with Marianne's vote, so they can kind of just go for it. It's assuming, of course, then the immunity challenge, there's a wrench in the spanner in the works. And that's where the things start to unravel. That's where Jonathan and Mike all of a sudden say, we have to play safe. We have to play defensively, because of course, like you said, their lives are on the line. But that opens the window for Marianne to seize the day. And that gives her the credit that they won't be getting for this moment. They played it safe. I will give them credit for playing it safe and surviving. And in the event that Lindsay did do what she should have done and probably play that idol to guarantee Omer's in the game as a shield, blah, blah, blah. You know, they still ultimately didn't vote the right way. They're not going to get the credit for that. And I think the jury was just mind blown that they got Omer taken out. And it was really by Marianne's hand. They don't know to what extent, but they'll probably find out as, you know, whoever gets voted out next, as the story starts to come out. I think it was also kind of obvious. She said, I did that. That was me. Omer's like, you did that? And he's like, I did. I'm like, okay, Omer now knows this was Marianne, her two votes.
Yeah, because the votes made it so apparent that it was three vote. It was a 3-2-2.
Right.
You know, vote, like, which means it was directly Marianne's two votes that made it happen. Even the 4-3 vote, like, would have been like, oh, they all flipped on me and they used Marianne's extra vote. But with it being a 3-2-2, it was like, okay, that really sells it.
It does. And it even sells it in the event that the idol gets played. Marianne will have two votes on the revote, gives her the power to decide who goes between Romeo and Jonathan. Marianne gets all that credit. That credit was up for grabs. It's the poker chips on the table. Marianne took all of it, took the whole pot, left Jonathan and Mike pretty high and dry. I won't fault them though. And I ultimately am sitting between, I gave Mike a 6. I gave Jonathan a 5. Jonathan is pretty neutral. Not too bad, but not fantastic. We didn't get enough from him. It was interesting to hear the exit interview, hear what caused this whole spiral to happen, but we don't see enough for me to say, okay, I'm going to give him a bunch of points for that. Cause I don't know. I don't know what it went down. And from what we saw, he wasn't really in the loop. A lot of the action stemmed from Mike. Mike made, he reined in Jonathan. He reined in Marianne. He had a plan.
I think big credit to Mike for getting Marianne on board in the first place. Right. Like that was some very good work. And I think that like, you know, if not for the mistake later, I'd be saying like fantastic job from Mike flipping Marianne the way he did.
Yeah. And you know, if Marianne didn't have that extra vote, maybe it's a little bit more even killed across the board, but that's not the reality we lived in. They were going to use her vote to have their safe vote. They were going to use her extra vote for the safe vote anyway. Ultimately, yeah, it's just, they did okay. They survived, but at what cost? I think that it might be the game. Unless they can get Marianne out, then we'll see. But they can't. She's got an idol. So
exactly. Yeah.
And they don't even know, which does kind of lead ourselves away into talking about Marianne.
Yes.
She's going to the final four. Again, barring any anonymous hidden idol nullifiers, which I don't think exist. She's going to the final four and nobody knows this except her. She is by far in the best position. She just blasted the mastermind out at the door. She gets all the credit for it. It was her plan. Everyone will know that if they don't. Half of them already know that. She played risky offensive. She didn't play defensively with the extra vote, which is usually what happens. Sometimes people don't even play the extra vote. I'm thinking of Sebastian when he had the final six of Ghost Style. He didn't even play it. Mm-hmm. She took that, owned it, made a fantastic play, gets all the credit, flips Romeo to her side. She didn't initially start in that at the beginning of the episode, but I do think that she came to that conclusion and it was for the right reasons that she can justify. So people aren't going to be bitter at her. They're not going to be mad at her for doing what she did. I think they're going to respect it, love it. you can take over from here. I'm about to cough, but yeah.
I mean, the way I see it right now is that Marianne basically has like a floor of a 50% chance to win the game. That like basically, she's going to, like, worst case scenario, she's making fire against one other person. And unless she's really bad at making fire or she's up against somebody who's really good at making fire, I don't think we have any reason to believe that, like, anybody's super superior at making fire here or super bad at making fire at this point. Fire is a pretty equal opportunity challenge. It doesn't matter how many muscles you have. Like, you're either going to, you know, it's going to happen for you or it's not. You can be good at fire and still lose because of just the way that it plays out. So base level, 50% chance of winning fire and therefore winning the game. Not to mention the fact that she could also win immunity. She could also manage to not even have to make fire because she's brought to the end because whoever wins doesn't see that she's a huge threat. Especially because she'll be sitting next to Mike. You'll win every vote in the end, says Drea. And Jonathan, Mr. Muscle Man, or Lindsay, big threat, who is working with Omer. Like, those are going to all be big potential, threats. Granted, I don't think, I feel like she will be making fire, because I think she probably doesn't win immunity. And, who's going to put Romeo into fire making? But again, like, who knows? Either way, though, those are really good odds. Really good odds to have base level 50%.
What if Romeo wins and takes her?
Exactly. That's where I feel like that's the best chance she has, where Romeo could win and then pin whoever remains of Mike, Jonathan, and or Lindsay against each other. I think that's her best shot if she doesn't win immunity. But that said, she still could win immunity, especially if considering the fact that almost definitely one of Jonathan or Lindsay will leave at five. That means that she only has to contend with one of them at four. If it happens to be a challenge they're not good at, then I think it's basically even between her, Mike, and Romeo in terms of like challenge ability. So definitely still would have a chance to win whatever that immunity challenge is. And then again, just straight up fire. So I feel very good about her position moving forward. I feel very good about the move she made here. I think the only real like docking of points that I would give her are the fact that it did seem to take the push of Mike to make it happen, that it didn't seem to be her plan prior to being convinced by Mike, and that she may not have thought of it without that. And then also that like it did require some specific circumstances for her to be able to twist it to something that really benefited her. But those are small like points in comparison to the ability that she had to take those circumstances and completely twist them into something that benefited her. And in the face of people saying no, she still pushed it through and made it happen and put herself in the position where she is now in such a great spot to win the game. So I think this was a fantastic episode for Marianne. I loved how she pulled it off, how when Omer goes and says, is this you? She's like, yeah. I thought she played that very well. She was also like pretty quiet when she said it, which I thought was good. It's obvious the jury's going to see it, but I don't know if Mike and Jonathan saw it. So I really like a lot of what she did. I gave her a 9. I gave her the 9. I feel like it was just a fantastic episode from her. Puts her in the position to win the whole thing. It's a great job.
Yeah, you know, I sat here and said, I don't know what she really could have done better given the way it was set up and everything like that. Everything that she was given this episode, she worked in wonderfully. She got everyone on her side. Everyone was on her side. Everyone trusted her. All 5 of the other players went through her. She managed to get multiple plans on board. All 5 people thought a plan was happening. And ultimately, you know, I think Mike and Jonathan had it right. I don't know exactly to what extent Romeo knew the split vote was going to happen. And was he going to get votes?
We never know what Romeo knows.
We never know. I mean, the last thing we saw her was lie to him, but get him on her side at the same time, which I love. And then she goes and she says, okay, I got Romeo. You guys vote for Romeo. I got this. I'll handle this. You know, I'll take the credit. I loved it. I was looking at all these, I had all these positive things to say. And I was like, I don't really know what I could do to dock her points other than just be luck. Like some of it was luck that came together that like Lindsay didn't play. But then I also say like, you know, it's great that Marianne didn't expose her idol because maybe if Lindsay knew that there was an idol in possession, she would think, okay, it's probably not going to get recirculated. And maybe she would be like, all right, at that point, it just makes sense to play this because I doubt there's going to be 3 idols coming back into the game at final 5 or whatever. But that didn't happen because Marianne's kept her mouth shut about that. She's purposefully used her extra vote to gain Mike's trust. Mike was looking for that opening with her and maybe he does go to Romeo instead. I don't think so. It might be his only choice, but either way, he got Marianne fell right into her and she took that. She took her newfound allyship with Jonathan and Mike. Used that to her advantage. She managed to be the only one to really dictate where Romeo was going. And apparently she was good enough that Omer didn't see it coming. And Lindsay was blindside face, you know, classic blindside, didn't see it. I had no idea. Oh my God, her face was great. So I was like, is this good enough to be a 10 or do I give her a 9? And I looked at her episode performance. I think this is as good as it gets. I think her short-term safety, obviously she's through to the final 4. Her odds of winning in the final 4 are pretty good. Not like the best you could ever possibly have, but I think considering her social relationships and considering, you know, I do think Romeo would help her out because they're both at the bottom. I don't know if Romeo would want to sit next to 2 big guys or maybe I don't think anyone wants to sit next to Lindsay, to be honest. And then her prospects to win. I think she's in the best spot to win. She's number 1 of the 5 left. Yeah, I think it just adds up to, like, as Tom Westman once said, every winner has luck play into the game. To discount that is like, you're just discounting fate. What are you supposed to do about that? Sometimes people get lucky. The ball drops in the right hole, the wrong hole. You draw the wrong gummy bear color. It is what it is. And suddenly you're in a good spot or you're in the worst spot possible. And there's not much you can account for. I'm going to give her, based on my, I'm going to give her a 10.
I love
it. For this episode, give her a 10. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it pans out. If it doesn't, it doesn't, and she doesn't win. But for this particular episode, the bombshell of her doing what she did, she flipped the script. She has given the season a fantastic, it's going to be an explosive ending with this. I'm excited to see if she can keep it up. So we'll see.
Yeah.
My gut says she will.
I did consider, I think for me, if I felt more confident that she would, because here's the thing. I feel very confident that she will survive Final Four based on the edit. But if I'm trying to like get that out of my head, I feel like if I'm thinking about it on a more strategic level, like how confident am I that she would survive the Final Four if I didn't have an edit? And I'd be like, you know, roughly 50%, roughly maybe a little bit more than 50%. You know, so I think that's the biggest thing for me that's preventing the 10. But I do think, I think there's enough of a case to be made that the performance in this episode alone is enough to put it up there.
I just, I'm like, I don't know what she could have done better to be in a better spot at this point, especially given like, I don't know how her perception was going into the Final Five, but through this episode alone and her performance here, she probably catapulted to number one. And I don't even think that she's in a bad, like she's got the idol that nobody knows about. She's got the relationships. Final Four is a lot easier than it used to be. It's not a 3-1 vote, and that it's only going to be helpful for her in some ways, especially as the probable front runner to win the jury vote. Those are the players that Final Four is going to help, because like making fire is kind of a fair game for anyone, including her. Even you can be as small as you want, you can still make a fire faster than anyone. So yeah, it's just tough. Maybe at the Final Five things go awry, maybe she does an Eric Reichenbach and then it's like, wow, this was the worst.
I know.
It's like, who knows?
Sometimes we talk about people being like lock safe because of idols, and then it's like, oh,
right.
Somebody actually had like, an idol nullifier that we didn't know about.
Like, I'll give her the great score for the final six. We will assess at the final five if it keeps going. You get Omer, he's got eights and nines and maybe even a 10 along the way, along the season, and then he falls off the face of the planet. It happens.
Yeah.
Right now, I feel really good about this episode. I don't know if you can get too much of a better episode from Marianne, considering the context going into it and the context leaving it. So I feel great. I think she's going to win. So there you go.
You make a great case. All right. That's what we've got. That's the Stock Watch for this week's Survivor episode. And that's it. Next week, the finale. And I'll be back one more time to talk through what happens in the finale. We'll give some final ratings for the players, we'll have a good time with it. The ratings will be a little different because everyone will have either won or lost, and so it'll be a little less about predicting the future and a little more about just kind of like how well do we think they did here in this finale episode. So that should be interesting, but that's about it. Pretty anything else that you wanted to talk about?
Not too much. You know, I'm excited for the finale. I'm making my videos every week on Wednesday coming out. Got an interesting one, somewhat related to the latest episode we just watched. Survivor for the rest of June for me, even though it's the off season. And then we'll switch to Big Brother once BB24 is coming around with the preseason. So other than that, once the season's over, I'm going to be playing some video games. Still need to get into Elden Ring. I just beat Horizon Forbidden West, 100% beat it. Excited to get into Elden Ring. I'm just going to be chilling. That's it. That's my life.
There you go. It's good stuff, that Elden Ring.
It looks really fun. So.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us. You can, of course, find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, hanging out, playing games, talking about shows, watching shows live with all of you. You can also find me over on Twitter @ArmstrongTaryn. We're doing some Circle coverage as well. We'll be talking about the Circle tomorrow night if you want to listen to that. Tons of Big Brother Canada 10 postseason content coming your way. We've already interviewed like four or five of these house guests. We've got more on the way, so keep on the lookout for that. I should be tweeting out everything that you need to find. And that's pretty much it. Where can people find your stuff?
Main place, youtube.com/Peridium. Twitter, my real name is Billy Geis, and that's where you find me on Twitter. That's about it. Those two places. You'll see me every week, at least once a week on YouTube. Twitter every so often. So yeah.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.